Well, what is the setting this year for the things that we are going to learn? One of the things that I have kind of put together is to begin working on messages that encourage us to stay in our lane. Stay in our lane. What does that mean? Well, I'm not going to share that with you right now. Just letting you know what the theme's going to be. But staying in our lane from a standpoint of view of children, standpoint of view of young adults, the standpoint of view of those who are a little bit beyond the young adult years, and those who are elderly. Staying in our lane, what does God expect of us during the years that we have and then moving forward towards the kingdom of God? So that's going to be the setting theme. The theme for this morning in staying in our lane is our walking lane. We're going to talk about our walking lane. A music composer, Kenneth Morris, was on a train from Kansas City, Missouri to Chicago, Illinois, back in the 1940s. They took a break, and when they exited the train to get some fresh air and to stretch their legs, Mr. Morris heard the porters standing around on that depot singing a song. He didn't really pay very much attention to the song, but when he reboarded the train, for some reason, the song that those men were singing kind of stuck in his head. They got stuck in his head. How many of you have been just going along and a song just out of nowhere just popped in your head? How many of you are traveling in your vehicle and you're looking for a radio station and there's a song that pops up on the radio and you think, oh, no, don't want to listen to that. And guess what? It's stuck in your head. And you're trying to get rid of it. You're trying to get that song out of your mind. And so then you try to find another song to listen to wash that one away. Well, here was Mr. Morris. He found himself in this very unique position. And when he got back on the train, that song just kept resonating over and over and over in his head. So at the next stopping point, he exited the train once again. But this time, he took another train to go back to the depot that they had stopped at earlier. And the reason that he did this was because he wanted to hear that song again. And so he arrived back at that depot. The porters were there, and he walked up to them. He asked them, could you please sing that song that you were singing earlier? And they agreed to do so. And this time, he paid very close attention to the words in that song, and he wrote the words down. And when he wrote the words down, later, he added a few extra lyrics to the song to make the song a little bit more meaning. This song was released back in 1941, and on October the 8th, 1941, the Salai Gospel Singers performed this piece. The song was titled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And I'm going to ask Miss Jenny if she would play that song for us.
Oh, I am weak. from all wrong. Oh, I'll be satisfied as long. Oh, as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Oh, now, Mr. Gordon.
Just a closer walk with thee. What was the composer doing with his song? He is asking God to give us something, to give us that opportunity. He says, grant it, Jesus, if you please, just to have a daily walk with thee. I used to love listening to that song when I was a kid growing up. That piece right there was performed by the group Alabama. And their publishers had that particular piece published on the internet. And I thought, very appropriate opening for this message. Just a closer walk with thee. He says, I am weak, but you are strong. And keep me from all wrong. And I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. And let me walk that walk close to thee. Family, where is our loyalty to God today? Where is our loyalty to God today? Are we walking with him? Are we talking with him? Henry Ford wrote a quote that reads, those who walk with God always reach their destination. Those who walk with God, they reach their destination. What is our destination? Where are we going? Where is our focus, family? And I hope that focus is on the kingdom of God. When we have that daily walk with God, we're at one with him. Now, in that daily walk, that walk is comprised of two things. One, God talking to us, either through his Holy Spirit or through his word. And then you and me having a conversation with God. We want that relationship. And we need to begin to build and unify that relationship a little bit more. A lot has gone on. I appreciated the comments that Mr. Taylor made in the presentation, and yet some of those things that he spoke about, we're going to take a look at right here. The only way the church was able to maintain a budget and to follow that budget was because our leadership has that daily walk with God. How can I be so bold to say that? Well, the evidence is there before us. Being good stewards over what God has given to us has afforded the church to be in the financial situation that it's in, and which is a very good position. Hebrews 6 and verse 9. Hebrews 6 and verse 9. We are told here in Hebrews 6, starting in verse 9, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, that same level of commitment, that loyalty, and that you do, that diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. What is he saying here? You see, family, we have to have this walk with God on a daily basis in order to receive the promise and in order to imitate the life of Jesus Christ daily. There are things that you and I, that we must be doing on a daily basis. Did 2020 shake up your faith? Did it cause some of us to lose faith? Was your faith in God challenged by others in the church, and those outside the church because of your faith and trust in God? Did we think that God will protect us against the virus? Well, the answer to that question is yes. We believe that. Did we believe that through this belief that we would not get the virus? Well, yes, we felt that way as well. But we definitely didn't believe that if we did contract the virus, that we would die. And so we have the things that we thought we were doing right, social distancing, wearing the mask. And yet, from what has been reported to us through the church, we have lost two members, one at the beginning of this virus and a servant at the end. Now, I'm not aware of others in the church who may have died from the virus, but yet we did think and believe that we would have God's protection. And yet we still had God's protection. We still had God's protection. But did it shake up your faith? Now, who do you believe? We can't believe man. God said that he promised to watch over us, to protect us, promised to keep us safe. But things still happen. So has that diminished our view of God and in trusting God because of the things that have happened to us throughout the year 2020? I believe that the year 2020 was an eye-opening opportunity for God's people to see where we are in our relationship with God. It was a test. It was a test. How did you fare? Now, in that process, many things that have happened, that have gone on, and that may have gone wrong. Where did it put you in your relationship with God? Where did it put you in your daily walk with God? Are you even still walking with God? Do you trust Him? You know, God, I got the virus. You know, I prayed and did everything that I was supposed to do, but I still got it. And then you allow my loved one to die. But we trusted you. We had faith in you. And then other personal trials that we've gone through throughout the year. You know, we're looking back to God because we're saying, hey, you know, this is me. You know, this is not supposed to happen to me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I was sitting down and I was talking with someone a while back. For the whole year 2020, I have spent a total of 3 hours out of 12 months with my wife. 3 hours. Why? Because of all the things that were going on. But the very unique thing I learned this week about this virus, each week I get an update from the nursing home. They call me and say, we're COVID-free, you know, we're going to start visitation, and then I get a phone call back, well, we've got two more people that tested positive. For the whole entire year, and I just realized this Friday, for the whole entire year of 2020, that nursing home has had the virus go through there like a whirlwind, hitting the residents, hitting staff members. And throughout that whole year, I asked the director yesterday, I said, I find it interesting that we go through this reporting every week. So how do you think the memory care unit is escaping the virus? I don't know. The residents in the memory care unit are fine. All the staff members that serve those in that unit are fine. And I thought, how interesting. How interesting. That one single little unit surrounded by all the stuff that's going on was not affected at all this year or last year. What do you think it was? What do you think it was? I sent that message out to my kids for things that they should begin to look to God to be thankful for. And yet, they were not affected by this. So, family, it all depends on what we are looking at, you know, as far as the things that are going on in our lives, as to whether or not we feel that we're close to God and God is close to us, or that God is hearing us, or that God is listening to us. Now, what if that memory care unit was hit just like all the other areas of that nursing home? Would that cause me not to have that faith and trust in God anymore? Well, Father, I trusted you. What family can separate you and me from that everlasting love of God? What can do it? We can have those trials that are going to shake us to the place where we begin to doubt God. You know, Job went through that exercise with God. All those things that happened to him, and yet still, he was hanging in there. The question for you and me today is, will we continue to be loyal to God as we move forward? Will we continue to have that walk with God? What can separate us from that love of God? Let's go over and revisit this conversation in Romans 8. Romans 8, let's go down to verse 31. What can separate us from having that daily walk with God? A scripture, a passage that we all are very familiar with. But let's stop right now, because what we're looking at today is how you and me, how we move forward in this year, and realizing and understanding that we need to have this daily walk with God. Romans 8, verse 31, when then shall we say to these things, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, sometimes we think that because that we are children of God, we are his sons and daughters, that bad things won't happen to God's people. Well, that's not true, and he didn't promise that to us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, has also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for you and for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? What things, family, can separate you and me from God? Let's go back and let's look at what we have come through over the past 12 months. Have these past 12 months shaken our faith to the point where we're not walking with God? You know, when I was a kid growing up in the Catholic schools, Sister Mary Ellen, when we would come to class, would always ask each one of us if we prayed this morning. You know, well, we didn't. And so her instructions to each one of us in that class was, take the shoes that you're going to wear the next day. That was very simple for us. It was only one pair. Take the shoes that you're going to wear the next day. Get down. Take one and throw it way up under the bed. Of course, our beds were up against the wall. So it wasn't like, you know, well, today, where you have space on both sides of the bed. But throw that shoe way up under there. So in the morning when you get up, you can kneel down and get that shoe. And while you're there, it was a reminder to us to have that morning conversation with God. You know, that stuck with me. That stayed with me for a long time. And I still remember it today. I don't throw my shoes up under the bed today, because if I throw the shoe up under the bed, I got another pair over here that I'll go get. And that can stay up under there until I decide to clean up. And you all probably have the same experience as well. What can separate you and me from God? What has happened over the past 12 months that has caused us not to have that daily walk with God? Family, it's time to turn this around. It's time to turn it around. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it was written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said there's nothing that can separate us from him. He will not separate his love for us, even through these events. These events are a test for you and for me to prove our loyalty, our commitment, our steadfastness when it comes to our relationship and our walk with God. Are we still having that walk? Maybe we need to go back to my elementary school days and take all of our shoes and throw them under the bed so that when we rise up in the morning, it's a reminder. It's just a simple reminder to have that conversation with God. You know, the disciples were concerned about Christ not eating. Jesus Christ was focused on his purpose, why he was here, and what the Father sent him to do. John 4, verse 32. They were concerned about him not eating. In John 4, and verse 32, we read, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you don't understand. You don't know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They were concerned about Christ being nourished. But Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Family, in your daily walk with God, what is your will to do? The writer, Mr. Morris, of that song, asked Christ to allow me to have this walk with you. Well, that walk's being granted. Permission has been granted. God wants us to have that walk with him and with Jesus Christ. Where's our loyalty to God? Are we still walking with him? Are we still willing to do his will and finish the work that he has given us to do? Where's our thinking? Where's our thinking? A lot has happened and a lot more is to come. Family, 2020 was an eye-opening for God's people. If our eyes weren't open through the events that took place last year, we're going to find ourselves in darkness. We're going to find ourselves losing faith. We're going to find ourselves sitting on the sideline. We don't want to sit on the sideline, family. We want to continue to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Our mission is the kingdom of God. 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, when we have that daily walk with him, we are having a fellowship with him. And through that fellowship, we have fellowship with each other. We do not walk in darkness, family, unless we have totally separated ourselves from God. But our walk has to demonstrate that relationship and that fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ. Galatians 5, verse 16, you don't have to turn there. You can just write this one down. He says, we are to walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust, the things that we see, family, are these things more important than that relationship that we have with God? You know, the things we have, they'll perish. They'll go away. But what about that relationship with God? We cannot allow ourselves to be consumed or distracted from this daily walk with God. You see, we learn a lot when we have this walk. You know, our children, they represent you and me, even if they're grown adults. You know, I shared with you a while back one of the things they learned during the feast, that there are a couple of my children, they're just like me. I'm looking at a couple of our grandchildren. They're just like me. And so I have to be careful how I walk because they're imitating me. Are we imitating Jesus Christ? Does our walk reflect that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father? When people see us, do they say, you know what? He or she looks like they're following Christ. Well, how can you tell? By the way they talk, by the way they walk, their behavior. We want to imitate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you see, in our world, we're busy. We are extremely busy today. Lots going on. We get up earlier now because of things we have to do. You know, we come home later because of our busyness. Have we become totally distracted in our walk with God to the point where we're not even paying attention? How many days have gone by? And this is a question you ask of yourselves. How many days have gone by that you have not had that walk with God? You haven't talked to him? You haven't allowed him to talk to you? Because of being tired, because of being busy, family, we have to get our focus back. It's an absolute must for God's people. We must get our focus back on the return of Jesus Christ and the job that he has commissioned us to do. Martha came to Jesus, Luke 10 and verse 40. Martha came to Jesus in Luke 10 and verse 40. In verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to come here and help me. Christ answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Mary chose to have that fellowship, that walk with Jesus Christ. Family, we have the same opportunity today to make a choice, to make a difference. Are the choices that we making every day in our lives, are they drawing us near to God or are they separating us from God? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. We need to begin to examine ourselves. Christ says, no, I'm not going to tell her to do that. Because see, Mary has a walk in that fellowship with Jesus Christ and with the other disciples. He says the same thing to you and to me today. We can't be too busy, family, that we cannot have that walk. What is important in our lives today? These are questions. These are questions I ask myself. You know, when God allows me to sit with him and put together these messages, as I do this, I have to ask myself these same questions. This message is just as much to me as it is for all of you. Dwight Moody wrote a quote that reads, if I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. If I'm walking with the world, then I just can't walk with God. The world will consume us. We will become busy and busier. And then we'll find out that we have drifted away. And we don't have that walk with God. So what must we do? Well, very simple. James tells us in James 4 and verse 8, if we draw near to God, what is God going to do? He's going to draw near to us. Family, it is our opportunity right now to take a look and to see where we are in this fellowship, in this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father. What does that relationship look like? You know, I have listened to a lot of the elderly in the church talk about, you know, not hearing from the kids. They're alone in their homes, and the children are not reaching out to them. They want to hear. Wow, you know, I'm not elderly, but I find myself doing the same thing. Weeks go by. You know what? I have five brats. I haven't heard from one of them. Month goes by. Well, you know what? Okay. Well, we'll see what happens the next time they need me. A few more weeks go by. Well, I'm calling them. What's going on with you guys? What's up? Their lives are busy. And that's what I hear from each one of them. Their lives are busy. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. You know, I've been so busy. This was going on and that's going on. I get it. I understand it. But then I have to ask myself the same question. Do I treat God the same way? And I ask you the same question. Do you treat God the same way? Are we drawing near to Him, or are we drifting away from Him? There are things that we learn, family, in that daily walk with God. And this is why it's so very important that we have it. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. You don't have to turn there. Here's what we learn. We learn to trust in God with all of our heart. And we lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Here's a benefit. Here is a benefit for walking with God daily. He will direct our paths. You know, it's easy to lose confidence and trust when you're praying and hoping that something bad doesn't happen to you, but yet then it happens. Does that mean that God doesn't love us? Does that mean, oh, I've done something so terrible now that, you know, God is totally displeased with me to the point where He'll, you know, He will never answer me again? Have I sinned? I've done something. Family, it's not necessarily that you've done something as it is to what you're doing right now. These are tests for you and for me. This thing that happened, what are you going to do? Are you going to pick up the pieces and move forward? David wrote in Psalms 119 and 105, he says, your word, are we going back to that word? Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word, David says, is a light to my path. You see, Jesus Christ is not going to allow us to move about in darkness where we stumble and fall. His word is a lamp, and He lights the path for you and for me so that we can see and we can see clearly. But in order for us to be able to see and see clearly, family, we've got to look up. We have to open our eyes, and we've got to see. And on that journey, mistakes are made. We all make them. There's not a one of us in here that can end the week and say, whoo, made it through this week, didn't make one mistake. Well, you just did. The mistake was you lied. Because we make mistakes. This is why we need God's help. This is why we need the direction of Jesus Christ daily within our lives. Micah 6 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Are we walking humbly with God? Are we? There is a benefit to us. There are things that we learn when we walk with God. God's love shows us the direction that we need to take, the paths that we need to travel down. He doesn't abandon us. He hasn't thrown us away. He never promised us that bad things wouldn't happen. He never promised us that we wouldn't die physically. He said that it is given to all men to die at least once. Death has a timing that doesn't fit our schedule, but it happens. Trials has a timing that doesn't fit our schedule, but they happen. Ephesians 2, here's a reminder in verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have been created for good works. God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in those works. Here again, he's telling us in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, here's a walk that we have to walk. It's amazing to me all the scriptures that I went through to find that conversation about our walk. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 13. Turn with me to Romans 13. Let's go down to verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. It's getting closer. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Jesus Christ. These are instructions to you and to me as to what we need to be doing right now. Our salvation is drawing near. We are closer now to the return of Jesus Christ than we were 2 minutes ago. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we still praying, thy kingdom come? Or have we stopped praying altogether? 1 John 2 and verse 6, I'll just read this short passage. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we abide in him, we are to walk as he walked. Are we walking? Does our daily walk represent Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was here on this earth, his walk was to do the will of the Father. And he walked with the Father daily. There was probably not a time that he was not in direct communication with the Father. As he went out and he selected men to be his disciples, he was doing the will of the Father. He was teaching those whom he had called about God and about the kingdom of God. This walk is very, very important, family. It is important to our livelihood. And we ought to walk as Christ walked. Join me, if you will, over to 1 Peter, because I'm going to spend probably the rest of the time here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, we are to walk as he walked. Does your walk look like Jesus Christ? Does your talk look like Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 4, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh was ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. His walk was to do the will of God. Is our daily walk to do the will of God? For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of Gentiles, When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominations, idolatry. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. They've heard it. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. There are changes that we have to continue to make within our own lives. We're told here that we must be doing the will of the Father and no longer the will of the Gentiles. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Are we serious and watchful in our prayers? Are we having that communication with God? Are we having this daily walk with God? Are we gaining the understanding that God wants us to have? Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God gives, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is our walk with God glorifying Jesus Christ and God the Father? The benefit of that daily walk, it teaches us, it shows us how to glorify them. Verse 12, behold, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. He says, don't think this is strange. So 2020, we said, well, that was a strange and unusual year. But he says here, don't think it was strange. This thing happened to try you and to try me. And this is why I said 2020 was a test. It was a test for each one of us so that we can see where we are in our relationship with God. He says, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. You know, those that wanted to come out and say that we lack faith, we don't have faith. You all are sitting here wearing a mask. You don't have any faith. Well, that's not true. We have obedience to God. And we have obedience to the servants of God. Why? Because God's word told us this is what we are to do. So this wasn't about our faith. It was about our obedience to God and entrusting God. On their part, he's blasphemed. On your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There is no shame because of the fact that we chose to have this walk with God, and our walk with God is not pleasing to men, because it's not our purpose to please men. It is our purpose to please God. What we do daily is because of the instructions that are given to you and to me from the Word of God. Here's how we are to conduct ourselves. Here's what we are to do. If any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We are to glorify God even in our sufferings, even in our disappointments. In our trials, we glorify him. We glorify him by honoring him, by continuing to talk to him, by following Jesus Christ, not by separating ourselves from him. The song was, I just want to have a closer walk with you. Permission granted. Because when I'm weak, you're strong. Then come on board. Let's have this walk. Jesus Christ wants this walk. The Father wants to see us having that walk. And that walk is in fellowship with Him and His Son. That walk is in fellowship with each other. Verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin on the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? What will be their end? What will be the end? Family, the day of the return of Jesus Christ is closer today than it was yesterday. The distractions that have taken place in our lives are showing us, family, that we are drifting away from God. If we're not having that daily walk with Him, if we're not in conversation with Him, and if we're not allowing Him to have that conversation with us, where are we? Where are we? Verse 18, now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. Are we committing our souls into doing good and to doing what is right? Here's a challenge for you and for me. But yet, God is walking with you and me as long as we are walking with Him. It's time, family, this year to rise up. Let's not repeat the mistakes that we made last year. Let's learn from them and grow. Let's recognize, hey, somewhere along the line, my faith failed. Did God fail us or did we fail? You know, my grandmother used to always tease me, and the nuns in the Catholic schools used to always make this comment, for this finger right here that you got pointing at me, you got three of them pointing back at yourself. So those three fingers that are pointing back at me, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? Yes, this person, that person did something wrong. What did I do in the process? You see, we have to take a look. We've got to take a look at ourselves. And we have to take note of the fact that sin lied at our doors. And what God wants us to do is He wants us, family, to repent. To repent. Here's a quote from Jack Hiles. He says, God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. God's power comes. It helps us as long as we learn to walk with God. You know, this is the trail. We're on a walking trail today. We're not on the driving trail. We're on a walking trail. And on this walking trail, who are we walking with? What's the most important thing going on in our minds right now? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? Getting back to the grandbabies? What's going on in our heads right now? And these are the things, family, that we need to begin to ask God to help guide us through so that our walk is with Him, our focus is on Him. We have to stay alert, family, and we've got to stay focused. We read the story about Enoch over in Genesis 5 and verse 21. We read this story about Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years, and 300 of his life, 300 years of his life, guess what he did? It said he walked with God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He lived to be 365 years old. How many years will the stories show in that book of life? How many years have we walked with God and stayed with Him without separating ourselves from Him? What will the stories be about you and me in that relationship with God? what stories will be told? You know, God has recorded the events of the men of old, the things they have done. What is going to be recorded about you and me? What would that book look like? What would this chapter of our lives look like? Family, we are drawing near to that return of Jesus Christ. Are we going to spend our time angry, frustrated, because we don't understand? Or are we going to spend that time walking with God, asking God to heal our hearts, asking God to guide and direct our paths, asking God to allow us to be drawn closer to Him, to have that more personal relationship with Him, asking God to help us to know and to remind us of His will so that we can do His will, asking God to allow us to be an example to others, to be of encouragement to others, to walk with Him, to trust Him. What do you say to someone who contracts the virus, who believes that God would allow that to happen? What do you say to them? Don't give up on God. He says, in the world, we will have trials. In the world, we will have tribulations. But it's what we do. It's what we do moving forward. You see, Satan is telling God, you're going to leave him. That's what he's telling God. He's going back and forth to God every day. Hey, look, see what the situation this person's in? That's one of yours. What did he tell Job? What did he tell Job's wife to say to Job? Curse God and die. What did he tell God? He says, you know what? You take a hedge away from around Job, and he will curse you. He will curse you. Do you see how Satan is working in the midst of our trials? He has us so fixed on the trial that we're not focused. We're not focused on that relationship with God, and we're not allowing God to heal us. The song said, just a closer walk with you. Do we still want to have that walk with God? Well, you all are here. I'm here. So the evidence of that is, yes, we do. But sometimes, family, we've got to be reminded of these things, and sometimes we've got to be stirred up because we get set, and we get set in our ways about doing things. But we just read, don't allow these things to allow us to become sluggish. Don't allow the trials that we are going through to beat us down to the place where it's hard to get you up. Talk about these things. Pray about these things. Let us have fellowship with one another, even as we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. It says, grant it, Jesus, if you please, let me have a closer walk with thee. Well, that permission has been granted. He has given us that opportunity. He wants that daily walk with Him. He wants us to have that walk with Him. He wants to have that walk with us. He wants to have those conversations with us. We are His. We belong to Him. Family, don't let go of His hand. Just keep moving forward. Let's keep pressing upward and onwards towards God's kingdom. Now, there was a hymn. No, it wasn't a hymn. It was a choral piece that we used to sing in the church years ago. Years ago. I'm going to conclude with that choral piece titled, I'll Walk with God. I think it's very fitting because we are learning to walk with God. Now, here's what we want to do. The song that I started off with asked for permission to walk with you. Now we've heard the instructions given to us. Now here's our attitude through the song. I'll walk with God. And I hope, family, that we will continue to walk with God. Mary O. Langston sings this song, I'll Walk with God. And I'm going to conclude with that piece. Family, remember, you and me, we walk by faith and not by sight. And don't let our faith fail because of the things that we have seen and the trials that we have gone through. Because Christ says, there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from Him.
As long as my faith is strong.